Welcome to God and Country Radio. Prophet discusses current social, economic, political, and prophetic events in the light of biblical exposition. I'm your host, Pastor Brad Winship, pastor of Harbor Bible Church in Central New Jersey. This week's program is part three in a very unusual series about the UFO phenomenon. Since there is so much interest in the subject and Congress has conducted hearings on the issue and a Pentagon task force has been formed, I think we should look into this issue. Proverbs chapter 25, verse 2, it's a glory for a king to search out a matter. And the purpose of this program is to discuss social events and see what God might be teaching us through these events, because God wants us to see and be instructed by his hand of providence in this world. Through what is called natural revelation, we learn something about man and sin and God and righteousness. We're all in God's classroom. Now, in regard to this UFO or UAP phenomenon, you and I are going to run into this issue. We're going to be confronted with it. And I want to prepare the Christian community for the coming avalanche of UFO news, because there's a lot of error that needs to be refuted. The whole thing is being interpreted through a New Age, Gnostic, false teaching view of the world. Due to the History Channel series on ancient aliens and other documentaries, there are many Americans who now discount the Bible as simply the visitation of extraterrestrials from other planets. That aliens visited with Moses and Elijah and the rest of the prophets, and that explains the Bible. The whole Bible is being interpreted through this UFO aliens from outer space narrative. It's the new explanation for human origins and the supernatural spiritual realm. And almost every Christian I've interacted with has run into some neighbor or family member who has bought into that narrative. As I explained last week in the second program in this series, if properly understood, the whole UFO phenomenon can build our faith in the Bible, not damage our faith. Because Christians of all people should know that there is another race of beings operating on our planet. The angelic race of both righteous angels and fallen angels. As the Apostle Paul wrote to the Ephesians, there are spiritual forces of wickedness in heavenly places. I think the surprise, even for many Christians, is that these demonic forces can interact with the physical world much more than we ever realized. But anyway, so the secularists and the New Age ideologues are working to put a spin on this truth to fit in their Darwinistic worldview. They're claiming that the angels and demons of the Bible are actually aliens. And they're claiming that they have inside knowledge as to what's really going on, and that the biblical prophets were just misrepresenting the reality of what they knew and experienced. But no, the angels and demons of the Bible were actually angels and demons. It's these ancient alien theorists, as they're called, who are misrepresenting the reality. And the biblical record is the correct explanation for what's happening here on earth. Now, one more point before we get into this discussion. On this program, I usually discuss political, social, moral issues. And I've heard more than once that all of this UFO talk is simply a distraction from what's really going on in Washington. As if I should be following the news and talking more about Hunter Biden and FBI corruption and the Trump indictments. Well, if this UFO topic is a distraction, it's certainly one that the media and the government is not talking about. And from my point of view, the whole subject really gets to the heart of what's going on in the political realm, what's really happening in the nations. I do remember Lucifer saying to Jesus, after showing Jesus all the kingdoms of this world, that I will give you all this dominion and its glory, for it's been handed over to me, and I give it to whomever I wish. So if you want to get to the root of what's happening in Washington, understand spiritual forces of wickedness in heavenly places. And if you don't appreciate the spiritual dimension, you will mistakenly see everything as merely a function of political gamesmanship. So let's not get so caught up in the minutia of the news that we miss the big picture. And this UFO discussion is not a distraction from the gospel. It touches on the very heart of the gospel. Now, before I get into some biblical texts, I want to address a UFO encounter, one event covered in the recent UAP congressional hearings. Because if someone doesn't have the facts, it's totally understandable why they assume the UFO issue is complete nonsense. One of the three men testifying to Congress was military pilot Commander David Fravor. Back in November of 2004, the Navy's Nimitz strike group was doing maneuvers off the coast of California. The strike group included a carrier, a destroyer, and two cruisers. One of the cruisers, the USS Princeton, carried the Aegis spy radar system created by Lockheed Martin, the most sophisticated radar tracking system in the world, able to locate hundreds of targets simultaneously in order to launch counterattacks. Now, for a number of days, the Princeton was picking up objects dropping from 80,000 feet down to 20,000 feet. Sometimes these objects would hover stationary for hours. And the commander in charge of the system assumed that there may be a problem with the system, because real objects in the sky do not do this. But after recalibrating the system, the objects only became more clear. So on November 14th, an aerial training mission with F-18 fighters was scheduled. And rather than doing the training mission, they sent up the fighters to intercept these UFOs. One of the pilots was David Fravor, and he tracked one of these UFOs. A second team with Commander Chad Underwood captured video footage of the UFO with the F-18's infrared system. Now, this video, along with two other encounters, had been released to the Congress and the public in April of 2020. 16 years after the event. Keep that in mind. Now, immediately after this 2004 event with the Nimitz strike group, the men on the ship reported that the whole issue went silent. No news was reported. But 3 years later, February 3rd, 2007, an insider posted the story of this event on a bulletin board website called Above Top Secret, entitled Observations of an Actual UFO. And this anonymous poster claimed that he was a computer operator on one of the ships. When the event happened, the whole ship went into security alert, and he asked his shipmates what was happening, and they told him that there were UFOs over the ship. He didn't believe it, so he went into the computer system and downloaded it to a personal disk, probably illegally. Now, a week after this individual posted the description of the event, he uploaded the video. But here's the interesting point. The video from the Nimitz and the other two military UFO videos were kept from the Congress and the public until they were leaked by insiders. It wasn't until about 15 years later, due to pressure from Congress and the public, that the Pentagon admitted that these videos were real. It was on June 25th of 2021 that the Pentagon released a report acknowledging the existence of UAPs. Before this, the official Pentagon approach was to deny the existence of UFOs, UAPs, and this is really a holdover from the policy created in the 1960s with the Project Blue Book, but that's a whole other story. So one of the big sub-stories in this bigger story is that the government has been lying to the people. It's an established fact that the FBI lied about Trump and Russian collusion. 50 former intelligence officers signed a letter claiming that the content in Hunter Biden's laptop is Russian disinformation. It's now an established fact that all 50 of those former intelligence officers were either talking off the top of their head or lying for political partisan reasons. The Department of Justice has been caught in lies about handling information in regard to Biden family corruption. Just this last week, Senator Rand Paul, pointing to Fauci's own internal emails, proved that Fauci lied to Congress when he said that the CDC was not involved in funding any gain-of-function research. So why is this happening? Jeremiah chapter 9, verse 3. Lies, not truth, prevail in the land, for they proceed from evil to evil, and they do not know me, declares the Lord. Let everyone be on guard against his neighbor, and do not trust any brother, because every brother deals craftily, and every neighbor goes about as a slanderer. Everyone deceives his neighbor, and doesn't speak the truth. They have taught their tongues to speak lies. They weary themselves committing iniquity. And this is what happens when a nation begins to lose its Christian consensus. The people in power develop all sorts of excuses and rationale as to why the public doesn't have the right to know, or why the public needs to be deceived or kept in the dark. Now, there are plenty of articles you can read on the web where people, not trusting the government, are claiming that the UFO disclosures are just more government disinformation, that the Pentagon planted these leaks, and that these UFOs were actually advanced government test vehicles, or they didn't exist at all. That the whole thing is made up to distract the public from other nefarious things the government is doing. So, was the government caught in a lie? Or did the government make up the lie and lie about being caught in a lie? Well, at some point, there's the truth. And this UFO phenomenon has so many eyewitness accounts, and this is coming from so many other countries, that the burden of proof favors the existence of these unexplained aerial phenomenon. And the Pentagon is now admitting it's true. It's not weather balloons. It's not swamp gas. So what is it? The explanation of the church and the scriptures is that this is an interaction with demonic beings. Now, in scouring the web, I'm seeing more and more evangelical ministries and leaders coming to this conclusion. I suspect this will end up being the position of the Christian community, while secularists and their worldview will still be claiming these heavenly forces are evolved aliens from other planets. You know, just like they hold on to their evolutionary ideas to explain origins. Now again, as I mentioned last week, the surprise even for the Christian community it was just how much the demonic world is able to interact with the physical world, the realm of humanity, and this is what I want to spend the rest of the time explaining. Now, if the Bible stated that the demonic world can have no visual interaction with the physical world, then the demonic explanation for UFOs would be off the table. But instead, the Bible itself explains much about how the demonic realm can interact and has interacted and wants to interact with the physical world. So to start off with, we need to again visit what Jesus himself said about the demons. Remember, one of the surprising aspects of the four Gospels is how much Jesus interacted with demonic activity. And a key text is Luke chapter 11. Jesus said, "When an unclean spirit goes out of a man, it passes through waterless places and seeks rest. And not finding any, it says, 'I will return to my house from which I came.' And when it comes, it finds it swept and put in order. Then it goes and takes along seven other spirits more evil than itself. And they go in and live there. And the last state of that man becomes worse than the first." Now, the spiritual lesson here is the futility of reform without genuine conversion. But included in the spiritual lesson are some amazing truths about the physiology of demons. Their realm is described as a desert, an unpleasant, stark place. So these demons, or at least a certain class of demons, desire to interact with the physical world. The earth must be a paradise compared to where they live. And the only way they can do this is by utilizing a physical body. Keep that in mind. Now, certainly they can tempt and work in the spiritual realm, but in order to have eyes and ears in this world, they need a physical body. Remember when Jesus interacted with the demoniacs at Gadara, two men were filled with a legion of demons. And these demons pleaded with Jesus not to send them into the abyss, but to cast them into a herd of swine. Matthew chapter 8, verse 29, the demons cried out, saying, "What business do we have with each other, Son of God? Have you come here to torment us before the time?" In Luke chapter 8, they were imploring Jesus not to command them to go away into the abyss. Now there was a herd of many swine feeding there on the mountain, and the demons implored Jesus to permit them to enter the swine, and he gave them permission. And the demons came out of the man and entered the swine, and the herd rushed down the steep bank into the lake and was drowned. Wow. There's so much here. We see that the demons fear the abyss. The abyss is the Greek word for a deep place or a pit. In the Revelation, it is called the bottomless abyss. And the beast, the Antichrist figure, is said to come out from the abyss. In Revelation chapter 20, Satan is bound and chained in the abyss. Now, we do not know if these demons were asking Christ not to send them into a permanent prison, that the abyss is hell, or the demons were asking Jesus not to send them back into their usual realm, a waterless place. And maybe that's the abyss being described. But notice, the main point is that they want to be in this physical world. And notice also that they cannot enter the pigs without God's permission. The spiritual door was closed to the souls of those animals. Remember the snake in the Genesis account? Satan entered the serpent at that time as the only way that he could communicate with Adam and Eve. The only way he could communicate with Adam and Eve is by utilizing a physical body, howbeit the body of an animal. And the Bible says that animals have souls, even though they do not have souls in the image of God. The demons seem to have the ability to occupy bodies along with the original souls of those bodies. Now, the permission of God in regard to what these demons are allowed to do on earth is a subject that's integral to the UFO phenomenon, and I'll explain that later. But these demons enter the herd of swine, and the swine are not happy, and they're so distraught they commit suicide, something that the demons probably didn't suspect would happen. So now the demons are probably where they didn't want to be in the first place, back in the desert of their unseen dimension. Notice that animals are disturbed by demons, something that also plays into this whole UFO discussion. So I hope we see how deep this can get in coming to a full biblical understanding of demonology. If this is too wild and crazy for you, just don't discount it out of hand. Don't be such a skeptic, because you need to be prepared for what's to come in this world. You haven't seen anything yet. You know, the irony is that secularists will believe in the paranormal, aliens from other planets, remote viewing, out-of-the-body experiences, the multiverse, parallel dimensions, but they see the Bible as a myth? Or that the biblical explanation is wrong? The problem with atheism is not that you believe nothing, but that you believe everything. So, we know that Satan and the demons can occupy our space, but in a different realm. They are here on earth. Satan is the god, the little g god of this world. He is the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that's now working in sons of disobedience, Ephesians chapter 2. He is described as being in the air. The Greek word air describes the atmospheric space that surrounds the earth. He rules over an entire kingdom of fallen angels with various ranks and positions. Ephesians chapter 6, verse 12. The rulers, the powers, the world forces of this darkness, the spiritual forces of wickedness in heavenly places. And now let's turn to one of the most mysterious texts of Scripture, Genesis chapter 6, which many, even in early Judaism and in the early church, believe is a reference to the interaction of demons with mankind before the great Noahic flood. That before the flood, demons took on human bodies and interacted with the descendants of Cain. Genesis 6:1. Now it came about when men began to multiply in the face of the land, and daughters were born to them, that the sons of God saw the daughters of men were beautiful, and they took wives for themselves whomever they chose. Now, the standard evangelical interpretation of this text, one that I tended to hold to myself, was that the sons of God here is a reference to the godly line of Seth, the 10 patriarchs before the flood, leading up to Methuselah, Lamech, and Noah, that their children, and they did have many, many children, rather than marrying believing followers of Jehovah God, intermarried with ungodly women. And so Genesis chapter 6 is an injunction against being unequally yoked with unbelievers in marriage. And what we do see in Genesis is that as time went on, all that was left of the godly line was Noah and his family. So obviously there was moral dilution. But the title Son of God is also used in Scripture as a title for angelic beings. In Job chapter 1, one of the earliest biblical books, like Genesis, the angels are described as sons of God presenting themselves before God. In Job 38:7, we read that the sons of God shouted for joy when God made the earth. These beings pre-existed earth. So it would not be unprecedented for the sons of God mentioned in Genesis chapter 6 to be a reference to angels. And likely fallen angels, because they're acting in disobedience to God's boundaries. And that's the interpretation of Genesis chapter 6 from the Jewish apocryphal book of Enoch, a book that's so old it was found amongst the Dead Sea Scrolls. Now, the book of Enoch never made it into the canon of Scripture, but it still might be based on some legitimate oral tradition. The strange thing is that the New Testament book of Jude quotes almost verbatim a passage from the book of Enoch. Now that doesn't legitimize the entire book of Enoch, but the Spirit of God is pointing to one text in the book of Enoch as being historic truth. Now I'm out of time. The point I'm planning to get to is that the demonic possession of bodies in the pre-flood world may parallel today what we're seeing with UFOs. Now once we break down the biblical text, it's not going to seem so strange. So this is what I'll be covering, along with what may be the plan of Satan in all this. That's a teaser. The complete version of this program will be on my YouTube and Rumble channel, God and Country Biblical Exposition. And you can get all of those links at the website godandcountryradio.org. Let me close by simply saying, skepticism is a good thing. Don't believe everything. I mean, even Jesus said not to believe unsubstantiated authority. He said, unless I do the miracles of my Father, do not believe me. So a healthy skepticism is good. But we do know we have a soul. And there is eternal time and space before us. At some point, we need to start believing some radical truth. And whether you embrace the truth or the lie will determine your destiny. Thanks for listening. The website is godandcountryradio.org. May Jesus Christ reign.